6 never, ever marks the spot.
I am altering the deep. Pray I don't alter it any further.
Most of the intelligence community doesn't believe he exists. The ones that do call him the Winter Soldier.
I'm Batman.
Dracarys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Top 5 Report, the podcast. Unlike some of our listeners, remembers how to unlock the recon armor in the original Halo 3. My name is Drilby, your host for the evening. Along with me, as always, is my brother Peter. How are you, sir?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm all right. We apologize, everyone. We are back after a quick week hiatus. Sorry for that that interruption there. My house is under construction, and I could not actually get to the podcast room. Physically couldn't get there. And it kind of was unanticipated, and it threw off the whole thing. So
fun stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, we're back. That's the reason we had to separate last week. It was a weird circumstance, but hey, we're here. So, Pete, how was your week or two off?
Yeah. It was nice to have a little break, but, honestly, I kind of just kept busy, I think, and it doesn't feel like that much time has passed. But everything is good in my neck of the woods. How about you? Did you do anything exciting or fun besides your house being like a major construction zone right now?
I'd love to say yes. Well, actually, I did purchase my giant television that's on its way. It gets delivered. And when I say giant TV, it's a 100-inch TV. And so the dream is happening. Let's be real. I'd put an IMAX screen in my house if I had the room for it. So, I can compromise with 100 inches, and it's going to be awesome when it gets to the house finally. So
awesome. I know we did do our top 5 dream theaters episode. So I'm excited to see what yours looks like once it's
well, it was the it was dude, it's really just a living room with a giant TV, and I got a really decent sound system to go with it, and you know, that kind of stuff. So sound system is here, TV arrives Friday, you know. It'll be awesome. All right, well, that being said, let's jump into it, cuz we've been off for a week and 2 weeks, so we got a bunch to cover. So Pete, what'd you watch while we were gone?
Yeah, I'll jump into it. We did have a week off, but I feel like I haven't watched as much as I would like. The first thing I'll get off or out of the way, My Hero Academia just started up again. This is season 8, which will be the final season of the series.
And I was just going to say, I saw a blurb for it, and I remember it saying final season on it. So
Yep. And so I just watched episode 1. That's really all that is out right now. And it starts up, you know, the last season ended in this huge, huge battle. It's basically kind of all the heroes, all the villains fighting each other. And it left off in the spot where you have All Might fighting against All For One. And it basically, it's basically like the big main hero of the series fighting against the big main villain. But if you watch the series, you know that All Might, now this is a spoiler, but this is in the first episode of the series, so it's not too much of a spoiler. All Might definitely gives Deku his power in the very first episode of this entire series. And, you know, throughout the series, All Might slowly starts to lose his abilities. So this fight scene at the very end in the final season, All Might has to basically use like this robotic suit that synthesizes different powers and stuff to fight against like this big, all-powerful foe of the entire series. And one of my favorite parts of this is because I have not read through the manga yet, so everything I'm watching is brand new to me. And one of my favorite parts of this whole thing is All Might has this crazy, like, robotic sort of like Iron Man suit, and he can use, like, he has certain powers that are like powers that were in his wheelhouse before. But then the suit starts pulling out moves that are actually like the classmates from the series. Like, it's like all your favorite characters. So he does certain moves that look like and resemble certain classmates. And it was a really cool touch, because this is a series that the anime started in 2016, I think. So it's like 10 years we've been living with these characters. And it was a really cool thing to see, like, you know, everybody's favorite teacher from the school in My Hero Academia. And he's pulling out all these stops. He's using all these moves that come from all your favorite student characters. And it was like a really cool, like, sentimental touch to build on this, like, really epic fight scene that's going on. Last thing I'll say is this whole fight scene, that basically this episode is one single battle scene, if I'm being honest. But right at the end, and I won't say who, but a character comes in to basically aid the good guys, basically comes to All Might's aid at the end of this episode. And it's a character who I love. It's a character who I started watching this series because I heard about. And I'm so excited because it's a very underused character for how cool he is. So if you listen to the podcast and you've kept in mind things I've said about My Hero, you might know who that character is. But he's definitely not one of the main, like, people that gets advertised for the show. But a very, very cool, gritty, cool character. And that's all I'll say on that. But the first episode was awesome. It's one of those things where I was just locked in. The episode ended, like, they had a commercial break right before the end credits, and I thought it was the halfway commercial break. And that's how much I was invested in it. So that was amazing. Other than that, the only thing I've really been watching is Peacemaker. And it's kind of funny. Last night I went to sit down because I'm like, all right, I need to let me try to catch up on Peacemaker before we record. And I opened up HBO Max and I looked at the last episode of Peacemaker that was available. And I was like, holy crap, I already am caught up on Peacemaker. So I'm with the rest of the world on Peacemaker. That just caught me by surprise, because I really thought I was like an episode or two behind still. And I loaded up HBO Max, and right there I'm like, okay, I'm current now. So that's pretty great. But Peacemaker season 2 is awesome. Like, it's so much fun. It's one of those things where it has aspects that I think you could be negative about. Like, there are political aspects to the series, which, you know, depending on how you lean, you might like or not like those things. And there's also a multiversal element to it. And I feel like multiverse is kind of a dirty word when it comes to or it can be looked at as a dirty word when it comes to comic books and movies and stuff. So it has aspects that you could be really down about. But when it comes down to it, the characters and the storyline are just so good that I'm just loving it. Like, it's just so intense. The whole scenario for season 2 is super fun. Like I said, it has a multiversal aspect to it, but from what I can tell, it's a very isolated thing. I don't think this is the DCU going into the multiverse. I think this is more Chris Smith, Peacemaker, getting a glimpse of an alternate reality and him deciding to go headfirst into that alternate reality. I don't think we're going to be dealing with multiversal stuff in the Superman sequel, for example, and stuff like that. But Peacemaker, so far, is awesome. Like, I'm loving it. I think it's the season finale. I don't know if I can say series finale for sure yet or not, but season finale tomorrow night. So I'm stoked to finally watch that. And Drew, you haven't watched Peacemaker at all yet, right? So I don't want to say too much on this one.
I haven't watched season 2 yet because
season
I've been catching.
yeah,
so that was the thing. I was holding off on season 2 just for the watch of Superman. Now I'd seen it, but it was that the wife hadn't watched Superman yet.
Yeah.
And then because of Peacemaker, Alien, Only Murders in the Building, all this stuff dropping at the same time. Peacemaker is like probably the next trigger I pull. I'm just looking at the what is next on the docket sort of thing. There was just too much stuff dropping at the same time, but content overload, and we have that conversation literally every few months. So
for sure, yeah. For sure. What I'll say for you though is Peacemaker season one, I thought was really satisfying. It was really fun. There was the humor there, the gore there. The characters were awesome. Peacemaker season two, I feel, is much more intense. Like I loved the first season, but the second season, I really think they brought up the intensity up a notch. I just feel like I'm just super into the story. And like I said, like I see people online complaining about different aspects of it either way. But if you just tune in and enjoy the story and especially the characters, like the characters get more fleshed out and more endearing. And I'm just really loving it. So I can't wait till you start to watch it and we can go into more depth with it. But yeah, Peacemaker season two, it's great. So
okay. So that's all you really got in was Peacemaker?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, well, I watched... I have to renege on a couple comments I made here, because I watched the first episode of the Halo television series back when it came on, and I was really frustrated with it. And then the more and more I heard, the more... Like, it was very clear that the studio... who was making the Halo series basically didn't care at all about the fans, did not care about the source material, did not care about, you know, that kind of, like, they were just like, whatever, we don't care. We're just doing our own thing and you guys have to deal with it. Halo has released finally on Netflix for everyone to watch. So I started watching it. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to actually give it a fair shot and really critique. So I'm probably, I think, four episodes in. Okay. I really don't like the first person perspective crap that they do. The game does the HUD. So like when they literally show you the Chief's vision, like it's a first person perspective Chief's vision and he's fighting the bad guys and stuff. And you're just like, I hate it that they did that. I really like, you guys could have just done this as a standalone. Like, it makes it look to me like low budget sci-fi or like mid range sci-fi. Like it does, it like totally degrades it in my opinion. Chief taking off his helmet. That's the big issue that I need to talk about, because there's definitely a lot of things they changed. I don't like that. Halsey and Miranda Keyes and Captain Keyes are related. I don't like that at all. That bugs the crap out of me. And I really don't like the casting for Miranda Keyes. But that's, you know, I'm not going to nitpick on casting, whatever. I'll just go with it. There's a handful of story stuff that I'm like, this is not cool. I don't like it. I don't like that Cortana is surgically implanted in the Chief. She's supposed to be that disc that pops in and out of his helmet. But she's permanently with him, even when he doesn't have his helmet on. So I guess that's cool for conversation, but I don't like it. Master Chief taking his helmet off. There are times where it's okay, and I have no problem that he has his helmet off because of scenes that we see within the video game franchise from, the opening of Halo 2, sections of Halo 4. Like there's parts where he has his helmet off where you never get to see his face in the game, but there's sections where he has his helmet off. So when they do it, I'm okay with it for the most part in the episodes I've seen. Not all of them, but for the most part, the episodes I've seen. There is one scene where he puts his helmet on, gets in a Warthog, drives what, maybe 200 feet, gets out, takes his helmet off. And you're like, dude, why? You didn't have to take your helmet off there. You know what I mean? So there are times that I think it's okay. And that's where I wanted to renege on some of my comments, because I was so angry about some of the things related to that, that I just want to come back and say, hey, I've given four episodes in, I'm going to continue, but on these little things, I'm okay with certain aspects of him taking the helmet off. But yeah, that first person perspective, guy's got to knock it off. I feel it completely made it low budget. And it looks like bad sci-fi that it was just like, we got to do it because of the game. No, you don't have to do it because of the game. Just do the action scene and we'll go. That was awesome. However, like the armor and set pieces and stuff, a lot of it looks cool. The one thing I thought was strange was the opening battle. It's the insurrectionists on a planet are getting attacked by Covenant. The insurrectionists are using guns that shoot bullets and they cannot take down the Covenant. They're not doing any damage. And then the Spartans show up using guns that shoot bullets, and the Spartans are just laying waste to the Covenant. Nice. So that I thought was a weird level of inconsistency, but I will let it go just because the scene was cool. So I was like, that doesn't add up, but whatever. So Halo is what it is, what it is. I still am thinking it's still not overall good, but I'm going to basically be like, hey, I watched all of it, and this is my overall opinion. I watched Gladiator 2.
Okay.
So Gladiator 2. This movie picks up 15 years after the events of the original, which was a Best Picture winner with Russell Crowe. Directed by Ridley Scott, also the sequel directed by Ridley Scott. This one, you find out that the gladiator is essentially the son or the illegitimate son of Russell Crowe's character. They cover that in backstory because at first you're like, why do I care about this guy? And then they get the backstory in there and you're just like, oh, wow, okay. And then it just adds a little bit to the character and like the emotional weight. But that's where the movie falls flat. Because it added a little bit, but even then, I'm like, I don't care about this guy. I don't care about the problems. It's like all the emotional weight, everything, all the emotional weight, the intensity, all of it was in the first movie. And this one was like, hey, you want to make another Gladiator? I think that sounds fun. Let's do it. And they left all the emotional weight off the table. Like, there wasn't any, like, I just didn't care, you know? The political stuff that's going on behind the scenes, again, it didn't carry the same weight as the original movie. And I don't know what the disconnect was. This one actually deals with the fall of Rome or the beginning stages of the fall of Rome, like what leads to that political uprising that causes, you know, the empire to fall. But I will say that some of the action sequences when you're in the fighting on the Colosseum itself is really cool. They have some really cool sequences, but the movie can't hang on that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
The scene where they fill the Colosseum with water, that was probably the best scene of the whole. That was probably the best fight scene and scene of the whole movie. In my opinion, incredibly unrealistic, because I don't see if they actually would have filled the Colosseum with water. But they send in boats and then they have sharks in the Colosseum. That's the part where I was like, I don't know. But it's also, actually it's a really cool sequence. So
I think, I don't know about the sharks. For some reason, I feel like I thought I heard that they actually could do that in the Colosseum. Like they really had it set up where they like, but this is all hearsay because this is like years ago. I feel like I might have heard this. So that's actually an interesting thing to research, though. Like, is that something that actually goes on? And the sharks, you know, is that something they would have been able to pull off? Sounds pretty exciting, though. You know what I mean?
Well, it was a cool sequence, and I didn't dig into any of the historical stuff. And I know there was a lot of people whining and moaning and complaining, like a lot of people like, this is not historically accurate. I kind of went into the movie going, hey, it's Gladiator. I kind of know by the title what I'm getting into. So let me just watch it, enjoy, and I'll worry about all the nonsense later. Overall, I was not a fan of the movie. There's some cool parts, but overall, I didn't really enjoy it. So there you go. And the third and final thing that I watched was the first three episodes of Chad Powers. Do you know what this show is?
No.
Okay.
Maybe I this do. Is, that doesn't sound all right. familiar.
This is a show, Glenn Powell, Steve Zahn. Those are the two big names right off the bat. Glenn Powell plays this is a sports TV show. So Glenn Powell is a college football quarterback who blows the final game, like the big championship game, like right in, like that's how the show opens. And it's a messed up situation, but he blows it and he loses and he basically becomes a joke washout football player. And he's doing everything he can to get back in the game, get his name back out there. Like, how do I fix this? How do I write this? How do I get, you know, that kind of thing. And he has this all of a sudden idea. And when I say all of a sudden idea, he sees a Mrs. Doubtfire, poster. And he gets the idea to do prosthetic makeup on his face so no one will recognize him because he's gone straight viral and go to an open tryout at another university. And he makes the team, and now he's got to like act this out. So he's like pretending, he's like acting out to be like this podunk, you know, redneck kind of like out of the boonies kind of a person who's joining this football team that he doesn't have the same world experience, and they don't know how to take him, but he's got one hell of an arm. And you know, so the show, the first three episodes were actually, it's got a really nice touching story, I think, underneath all the zaniness, but it's got some funny moments, but it's got this nice touching story I think we're ultimately going to get out of it. It's cool. It's on Hulu. There's only three episodes out right now. So check it out. Some cool characters, funny bits. Yeah.
Yeah, this is, I have seen like a trailer or something for this. I just didn't know what it was called, but sounds pretty funny. Is this more of a comedy or like more like what's the tone of this?
I would definitely put it in a comedy category.
Okay. Yeah, it seems that way, but I also feel like this is a situation that could lead to like some of those great moments where like somebody knows that like, you know, like Glenn Powell is actually like pretending to be this other character, and he has to like weasel his way out of all these like tight situations where he almost gets caught and stuff like that. That's kind of what I would be hoping for it, but yeah, definitely.
And right now that's exactly what's going on.
Awesome. It's that's like one of my favorite things in like entertainment in general.
So like he goes to it's tech kind of a spoiler. His coach, after he makes the team, the coach is like, hey, I always take the team. We always go up to my lake house for a party right before the season starts. So this is the address of my lake house. Come join us. Have a barbecue. We'll hang out. He's like, lake house. And he seems kind of worried about it because the prosthetics won't hold up with water.
Oh, nice.
And he learns that by mistake. So like he had to find a fix for the prosthetics because of like sweat. So, you know, when he's out on the field and nice. He's like, crap, this isn't going to hold up with water. And then so he's like doing what he can to avoid the pool. But then they're like, but then he's like in the kitchen grabbing some food and someone's like, hey, you got to come. And he's like, what? And he's like, it's the annual water balloon fight. And they do it like that's dodgeball awesome. Where there's a bucket filled with water balloons in the middle and they all have to run out like dodgeball and grab the water balloons. Perfect. And he's like, oh crap, what am I gonna do? So it's like it's little things like that that you're just like, all right, you know. So yeah, it's right now it's him trying to get out of stuff. And yeah, I don't know, the show is, it's really cool right now. It's on Hulu.
That's great. So,
there you go. Awesome. It's a fun one to watch, so check it out. All right, that is it for the news. I mean, not it for the news, in for the watching and reading. Do you want to talk about the news?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Perfect. All right. Some of these are a little quick. Some of them might be a little lengthy. Okay. Stranger Things season 5. Trailers are dropping. Sizzle reels are dropping. I don't know if you've seen any of these. Have you checked any of those out yet or no?
Trailers, yes. I started watching the sizzle reel, but I didn't stick with it just because I was busy at the time. So
I watched a trailer and then I watched one of the sizzle reels. And the sizzle reels, in my opinion, are better because they're not giving away stuff. They're showing you stuff way out of context. They're showing you finished stuff that's unfinished. They're showing you stuff like, you know, them laughing, but then running on a set for a stunt and stuff like that. You know, it feels like more exciting to watch that than the trailers themselves, because the trailers, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm going to see that at some point. I want to watch this behind the scenes stuff because I think it's more interesting right now.
Fair enough. I do feel like the trailers haven't given too much away. Like,
they haven't given anything away, in my opinion.
So, but keep going.
What I was going to say was that what I think is interesting is that we've been hearing that the runtime for this is you have 8 episodes and each of them is 2 hours in length.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, oh my God, they're releasing 8 movies. The Duffer Brothers had a comment. Showrunner Matt Duffer has clarified that while some episodes of the Netflix series upcoming 5th season are movie length, he says the runtimes he's been seeing online have been inaccurate.
Nice.
So sounds like we're getting a couple at movie length and the rest will probably be real close to normal or a little bit longer than normal. You know, I don't know what to say about it. He said that episodes 4 and 8 are like movies, but every runtime posted is inaccurate.
So, okay, great.
Great. This is that. I like when people debunk the internet rumor nonsense.
Well, you also have to think about the pacing. Like, Stranger Things, in my opinion, usually has really good pacing. And, like, why ruin that, you know? Like, yeah, you're going to have, like, a couple episodes that are longer, but I feel like it's delivered so well in the format that it is. So, like, I'm okay with them sticking with, like, hour-long episodes and then maybe a little longer here and there. And then, you know, the big episode might be 2 hours or whatever. But, you know, I'm totally cool with this development on here, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Social Network 2. We talked about this a while ago because they announced it. That Aaron Sorkin was working on a follow-up to The Social Network because he wanted to talk about the negative side of social media, which I didn't know if this was actually going to be a Social Network movie or if he was just going to title it something else or he was going to, you know, I'm not 100% sure what I thought was going to be, but they officially announced that Social Network 2 is officially titled The Social Reckoning. And Jeremy Strong will officially star as Mark Zuckerberg, replacing Jesse Eisenberg. Jeremy Strong, it looks like when you look at the pictures next to each other, it's almost like he's playing an older version of what Jesse Eisenberg was playing. Also starring will be Jeremy Allen White and Mikey Madison and Bill Burr. That's coming out in October of 2026. I think it's cool. I like that you have Social Network, right, is the first movie, and then you have The Social Reckoning. It sounds sinister, right? So that might be exactly what I thought it was going to be, that downfall of society, the inventing the downfall of society, if you will. You know, when you throw in, like, you know, government censorship and all that stuff that we've been hearing on the news and stuff, this could be cool. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah. It should be pretty interesting. I mean, the first one was such a good movie. So I'm interested in, basically what you're saying, the, not just the execution, like I'm sure the movie's going to be great, but just the, social commentary and stuff like that. I'm curious, what kind of take they're going to have with this one.
Yeah, same, but we'll see. But I really like Aaron Sorkin. I'm a huge fan of, so why not? Let's do it. Okay, Tom Cruise's Edge of Tomorrow 2 apparently starts filming next year. I had heard several rumors about this and that they were having trouble getting it off the ground, whether it be funding, casting, stuff like that. But I think it's cool. I really enjoyed Edge of Tomorrow. So I look forward to seeing whatever they do with the sequel.
Yeah, absolutely. The first one was great, and I feel like, I don't know if it's well known or not, but this is a movie that's based off a manga, right? It's based off a Japanese comic, and I'm kind of curious. The comic itself, I don't know if the story is expanded more than what we've seen in the movie. I actually don't really know a lot about it, but that's also something that would be cool to see. How much does this movie series differ from the source material? You know, is it going to be faithful, or is it, like, at this point, is it a complete departure, you know? But either way, it will. This is an exciting story, because that first movie was really good, so.
The movie, the manga... Yeah, the manga was, I believe it's titled All You Need Is Kill. I think that's the actual name of it. And then the movie Edge of Tomorrow had a different title, which I'd have to look that up because I liked the original title better. And then they settled on Edge of Tomorrow. I think they changed. I'm going to have to look up what that was.
Was it Live, Die, Repeat?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
I really liked that title a lot, and they aren't going with that, which is fine. But, you know,
it might have sounded more, maybe it sounded too like horror movie-esque and they wanted something that sounded more sci-fi or something like that. I'm not really sure, but yeah, that is a good point. That is a really cool sounding title, though. Live, Die, Repeat. And obviously it's perfect for the movie. You know, it's a perfect title.
Exactly. So. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm cool. I'm down. I'm cool. Another movie that's coming out, which I was not expecting... is we get a Simpsons movie again.
Yeah.
I was not expecting this in any way whatsoever, but I'm down. Let's do another Simpsons movie. It is taking over one of the Marvel movie dates because they shifted around the Marvel schedule. Mm-hmm. It is taking the place of one of the Marvel dates. So, okay, cool. We're getting another Simpsons movie. Let's see what that means. Maybe we'll get some more Spider Pig action. Maybe we're going to get Thanos. Maybe we're going to get Thanos Pig. Let's be real. Like,
Well, I'm down too. Like, this is pretty, this sounds pretty fun. I'm very skeptical about,
or Andor first... pig, or sorry, there's gonna be a lot of pigs.
Yeah, the impignity gauntlet. The first Simpsons movie was like this cultural moment. Like, everybody and their mom went to see that, like, for the midnight showing, and everybody was so hyped about it. In the day and age we're in now, I am very skeptical of how much hype this movie will have. You know, is this going to be the must-see movie that the first one was? But still, I'm excited for it. Like, this will be really fun. I'm just curious how much everybody, you know, how much hype is there going to really be, you know, this time?
Yeah, agreed. So, you know, we'll see. I don't know. I'm down. I hope there's not, like, lore I have to catch up on, though, because there's a lot of Simpsons to watch.
I mean, typically, you know, the Simpsons, as far as I know, I mean, I haven't watched for a while, but they did always stay true to that sitcom format where you didn't need any previous knowledge, you know, you just tune in and they'll catch you up where you need to be, so.
Very true. Okay. We have a John Wick Western Samurai spinoff coming.
that sounds effing amazing.
It does, doesn't it? as I say it, you're like, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't 100% know what that means. It just says, according to Variety, Western Samurai John Wick spinoff movie is officially in the works. A script has been completed and submitted. And I'm like, yes, that sounds cool.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Let's do it. And I don't know if you watched, I don't know how far into the John Wick movies you watch, but they do get into some of the samurai stuff and samurai ninja stuff later on in the movies. So,
oh, sweet.
Yeah. So they go to the Japan. So the Continental, in the movie, you've seen the original, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So he goes to the Continental, the hotel, and that's where he kind of like stages. That's kind of like the hotel for all the assassins. And they have rules like don't shed blood, you know, no bloodshed within the hotel kind of thing. So the Continental is actually a chain. So there's several of them. And one of them's in Japan, and he has to go to that one. And there's some crazy fight sequences and stuff when they have to go there. And ninjas and swords and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I was just going to say with this story, all I'm thinking of is Western gunfights mixed with Japanese swordplay with the John Wick level of, choreography. Like, that sounds freaking badass. But
I know.
Yeah, awesome stuff.
I know. All right. George Clooney confirms that Ocean's 14 is officially in the works.
All right. Nice.
So, yeah, exactly. Like, all right, we're getting Ocean's 14. I like the idea of it because they had that one with the other Oceans movie, which was going to have Ryan Gosling, Margot Robbie, and they were going to be like, the idea was that it was going to be like a prequel to the Ocean films, and they would be leading the team and stuff. And I was like, that sounds cool. I'm down for a heist like that takes place in like the '70s or something like that. That'd be sweet. And then adding to it, we're getting another Oceans movie. I'd like to hope that Brad Pitt's coming back and some of the other cast members that are still alive are going to be like, yeah, let's do it. You know, it could be fun, especially just to see those cast members get back on the screen and go on another heist, whatever it happens to be, you know?
Right on. Yeah.
But I'm telling you have a bar because as far as I'm concerned, Ocean's 11 is the bar and all the sequels have not met the bar yet. So that's my opinion.
It's another gladiator situation.
Another gladiator situation. All right. Do you remember when we talked about Batman and Deadpool getting comic book crossovers?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So they released this month in the month of October. Both of them do. I have not read them yet, but there's one for Marvel titled Deadpool and Batman, and there's one for DC titled Batman and Deadpool. I do hope to read these very soon. I just haven't had a chance yet, but it has me excited. The reason I bring this up is because in the spring of 2026, they will be doing another crossover, Superman and Spider-Man.
Oh, perfect.
Same thing. So you're going to get Superman, Spider-Man on the DC side, and you have Spider-Man, Superman on the Marvel side. And they're meant to be, I believe, just straight team ups. It is a one shot. So if you're looking for a quick run to the comic book store to get your hands on it, I think this is really cool. So
there you go. I think this is super fun. I'm glad that the Batman Deadpool thing wasn't an isolated incident, because I feel like DC and Marvel haven't really crossed over that much. Like, I feel like back in like the 90s, it was happening quite a bit. And for a while, like, it hasn't happened. So I think this is really cool. Superman and Spider-Man, I mean, they're almost like different variations of the same character in a lot of ways when you look into like some of the details of them. So they totally make sense. Batman and Deadpool seems like a weirder mashup, but sometimes that stuff is even better because you have the different characteristics of both characters bouncing off each other. Like, I could imagine Batman finding Deadpool to just be completely obnoxious, and maybe that would make it even more humorous, you know? But yeah, this sounds really awesome. I didn't know about the Superman and Spider-Man one, so.
Yeah, I didn't think you would, and no offense. I just, it was like, I bet you he hasn't seen this, and I was really excited.
Nice. So,
all right, and this is my favorite last story, but this is my favorite one of the night. Quentin Tarantino's Kill Bill movies are coming back to theaters. Here's the catch. It is going to be one single movie, both parts released all together in a 4-hour runtime. It's going to include a never-before-seen 7-minute animated sequence, because if you watch the original film, when they do Oren's backstory, they do a quick animated, like, anime style sequence for Oren. Well, there's a whole new 7-minute sequence that's added to it. 4-hour runtime, both movies, and it's titled Kill Bill: The Whole Bloody Affair.
Nice.
I think I might actually buy tickets to go see this. It comes out on December 5th. Yeah, I really think I might go check that out. Hopefully my schedule is not too horrible and I can squeeze it in that weekend. But I think I might actually try and get that in. I'm just really excited. I love that movie. It's also going to be select presentations will be shot in 70mm and 35mm for the film nerds that have to go see it in specific format. So
fair enough. This is really exciting. I did see people talking about this online. I did not know about the additional animated sequence. So that's actually like almost my selling point. Like, man, because, you know, you have the DVDs. You're like, I could sit at home and watch this. But no, there's an additional 7-minute animated sequence. I feel like I need to see that. And I remember seeing Grindhouse in theaters. And if there's anything I learned from that movie, it was that there is fake trailers that they showed us between both, you know, Grindhouse was a double feature and there's fake trailers in there and they were never released anywhere else because when those movies came on DVD, they didn't include all of the trailers. And so there's certain things that we just haven't seen since Grindhouse came out. And that's what I would worry with this one is if you don't see this showing of Kill Bill in theaters, you're never going to see that 7-minute animated sequence ever. So that is a good something point to think about.
That is a good point. I will say, however, I do hope that even if I did miss it and I don't get to see it in theater, which would suck, but if it did happen, I do hope that they release this on Blu-ray so I can get a home copy of The Whole Bloody Affair and watch it that way, because it's one of my favorites and it just sucks because it's in two parts and you're just like, no, it's not supposed to be in two parts, you know? So
I mean, you gotta hope for it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they never do. That's where I'm coming from. Cause I just feel gotcha. Like I was burned with the whole Grindhouse situation, but
we'll I hear you. Well, you know, I can get Grindhouse on Blu-ray. I'm just saying, like, if they're gonna, you know,
yeah, but it's, you're still missing all the trailers is my whole point. So
sure, I gotcha. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the news, man. Unless you have anything else, we can shift over to the list.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Cool.
Yeah, all I got right. Nothing else. So
cool. We are going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
For the top five.
All right, Peter, this week where the top five pick was your list. So what do you got for me, man?
Yeah, sure thing. This is kind of a out there list, But I was watching, like, I was catching up on Peacemaker, you know, a couple weeks ago, and I remember watching the episodes at the end of season one involving the cow, this giant alien monster that the butterfly aliens were using to milk as a food source. And I remember watching those, you know, watching the season one finale and just thinking, like, man, the cow from the show would make a great, like, video game boss character. And that's what made me think of this list. I was like, you know what would be a fun list is to just talk about, like, what characters, whether they be villains or monsters or whatever it is, whatever, what characters from movies would make good boss characters for a video game. And this is kind of a bonkers list. It's really weird. And I'm hoping that we have a lot of out there weird stuff that we're going to talk about. The one issue I kept running into with this list, though, is trying to pick characters that aren't already boss characters for video games. And that, unfortunately, does rule out a lot of the stuff we talk about on this show a lot. You know, it can rule out, you know, a lot of the comic book superhero type stuff we talk about. There's a host of, like, Star Wars characters that have been in video games before. So I found that to be a little bit limiting. But at the same time, if, like, Drew, if you picked a character who happened to be in a video game or happened to be a boss character, I don't think we have to be super strict about it. This is kind of just a bonkers list idea that's going to lead to a really out there discussion, and that's really what I was hoping for. So how are you sitting with this whole list idea, though?
Well, I'm so glad you said what you said. How about that?
Okay,
because awesome. I went into this list going, this is going to be a really fun list, this will be a really cool conversation, and then I was like, well, hold on a second, how many Marvel stuff has been video games? How many DC stuff has been video games? How many Star Wars things have been video games? How many, like, literally, I was like, I literally had a moment where I was like, ooh, Dom Toretto, Fast and the Furious. And it doesn't have to be like a battle, but the street race is the boss fight, right? Nope, yeah. There's Fast and the Furious video games. Like, what the heck? You know, like, that's like, literally my brain was like, what hasn't been done yet? And then I decided to go down the horror rabbit hole because I was like, ooh, horror movies. And then there's a video game called Dead by Daylight, which that's exactly what it is. And I'm like, okay, seriously, what the heck? And like, Dead by Daylight has everybody. Have you ever played Dead by Daylight?
I've heard of it. I think you actually might have been telling me about it.
So ultimately what it is there's a map, right? One person is a killer and everyone else has to try and survive until, like, I guess the time limit or whatever, or kill the killer. So, like, when you spawn in, you can be Jason or Mike Myers or Ghostface or Vecna or whatever. You can choose. You actually get to choose what you look like. So, and you go into, like, a haunted house and everyone else is just a regular person doing their best to survive. So I'm like, come on, man. Like, you just took all that out of the equation. Like,
awesome.
So that's, so literally that's where I ran into troubles too. So I was kind of trying to be as hyper original as possible and to stay away from all, like, the standard tropes, which made it even more difficult because I was like, well, you know, that villain's going to be really boring. Like, that's not going to be a cool boss fight. You know what I mean? Because you can't take a normal person from, like, a drama and you're like, oh, hey, we're going to do. Nope. That's a boring movie.
I want to go with this character from I Heart Huckabees or something. Yeah. You're like picking out indie comedy movies and, like, just weird stuff.
Exactly. So I think I put together a decent list because I was trying to think of, like, what the fight would look like on the game or what the game would look like as I pieced it together. That's kind of how I was trying to tackle this list. So I think I put together something good. Let's hop in, I guess.
Yeah, I did have one of my picks. I actually kind of switched around. I changed it to being an honorable mention last minute because I did realize that, like, oh no, there has been video game versions of this character. And then the rest of my list, like, I didn't research it too heavily, but I think I have a good mix of, like, I think they're all pretty much mainstream picks to an extent, but I don't think they've been video game characters, but I could be wrong there, so we'll see how this goes. I do have two honorable mentions, though.
Well, that's nice. I have zero. So awesome. Because, like I said, I had trouble for all the reasons I said, and it was more fun trouble, but I was like, literally, like, It's a really good thing we had 2 weeks to try and figure this list out. Let's be real. because I definitely needed the time to think. So go ahead, man. What are your honorable mentions?
Yeah, so my one's kind of a cheat because it's pretty all-encompassing, but I went with the movie Ninja Scroll, which is like a great anime film from, I believe, the 90s it came out.
Yep.
But it's one of those older anime films that really appealed to like the older like comic book guy sort of crowd because it's full of nudity, it's full of blood and guts and gore and just amazing fight scenes. And if you
and
really
weird
like...
characters.
Yes, and I was getting to that, but yeah, just like if you like kind of like that old school like 80s and 90s like super gory anime vibe, like you definitely have to check out Ninja Scroll because it's super fun and it's actually really well animated too. But the thing about Ninja Scroll is the way it's structured. You have like this main ninja character. I can't remember if his name's like Jubei or something, I want to say, but he fights against like a number of these really weird villainous characters. Like there's like the woman who's covered in snake tattoos and then the tattoos come alive and attack him. Or there's the guy who is like, he's kind of like a hunchback, but he's got like a beehive like built into his back, so he controls like this swarm of bees that come out. And it's one of those things where the film is filled with all these weird anime villains that I feel like any one of them, like, you know, throw a dart at the movie screen and pick one of the characters, they'd all make amazing boss characters. So that's why this one's a cheat, but that's why I went with Ninja Scroll. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on this one, Drew, but I thought this was a pretty funny pick.
No, it's a funny pick. It's also great because every one of those characters is like a final boss, like the dude with the bees in his back. And yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's some great, cool, like just wild characters in that franchise, in that movie. We actually had the first time I saw that movie, I had a friend in college who was like, we're all watching Ninja Scroll. Everyone come over. And it was a bunch of us. And literally, I think out of everyone in the room, like two people had seen Ninja Scroll.
Right.
So he's like, here's the deal. And he said, this character, and he showed us a picture, and he goes, he's off the list, but everyone pick a character. You can make any comment you want, but when your character's dead, you have to stop talking. You know? Awesome. So it was kind of cool. He's like, you can't choose this guy because he's the main character, but, and you're just like, I'll choose him. He looks cool. And then he dies in like the first 2 seconds, and you're just like, shoot. You know, like,
yeah.
So yeah, good stuff. Ninja Scroll is a great pick, man. What's your next honorable mention?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the one that I switched. This was going to be on my official list, but there has been video games and I believe even like boss character versions of this character. But when I was putting my list together, I was trying to think of characters who transform to an extent, you know, because I love like a good boss fight when you have.
I like how you say that, but I feel like you're going to mention a Transformer.
No, I'm not going with the Transformer, but
you're like, I like how they transform to an extent. I'm like, well played.
No, but I love when you have like a video game where you're fighting against this boss and maybe it's like a pretty hard boss and you see his hit points, like you see his life bar and you slowly whittle that life bar down till like the boss is dead. But then, holy crap, he transforms, he like hulks out, he becomes an even bigger, badder monster. And now you're screwed because he's got even a bigger health bar that you have to fight against. And I love how intense that moment in video games can be. And so I was trying to think of characters within film and pop culture that fit that sort of mold. And so the one I went with is the clown / the Violator from Spawn, because I thought this would be a perfect choice for that kind of a character. You know, like you're fighting against the clown and, you know, maybe he's throwing like some weird supernatural attacks at you and you're doing some hand-to-hand stuff. And when you finally work that first health bar down, then he transforms into his giant demon Violator form and you're like, holy crap. And then that's the next level of the fight. So this one I thought was really cool, but it has been done before. This one is kind of a cheat too, because this is a comic book character first and foremost. But yeah, that's who I went with for my next honorable mention. So I thought this would be a pretty fun scenario. You know what I mean?
Which one? Sorry, which one?
Oh yeah. So the clown / the Violator. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know the necessarily best way to write that for a spreadsheet, but yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha. That's as I was listening, I'm like, yeah, I'm with you. And then I'm like, wait, what am I writing down? So yeah. Cool. No, that actually is great. It's great just because of the stages, and I like how you worded that, because I have one specifically that I feel like would shift into phases. Which I'll actually make for my first pick when I have to start talking about it. Actually, it's a good segue. But no, the clown versus the violator, because a lot of video games do that where you'll like get the life bar like halfway down, and then it'll shift to a different phase of the battle. That doesn't necessarily mean they get bigger. Sometimes they just don't get bigger, but they shift to a different, like their attack pattern's different, or their they unleash some special attack to make it a little harder for you, but the life bar stays the same. There's always some variation. Sometimes it is just a bigger life bar and you're just like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, I love when it's a fake out, when you think you've won and then you're like, oh crap. I'm not even halfway through the battle.
So the Violator is a great one because it starts as the clown and you're just like, yeah, I got him. And then boom, he just transforms into the big clown or the big monster. So good call there. But in terms of the phases, the one I thought of specifically for that is the Alien Queen. Awesome. So you do like an alien video game, right? But then you have to fight the queen, and it starts out as like a standard, you know, you're fighting the alien monster. Maybe it's partial run and gun, but it also partial chase where she's chasing you, which the shifting of the phases to the next like part of the boss fight is like you get into the mech, right? Yep. So like it's like she's in the chase, so it's partial chase, partial run and gun, and then you find yourself in the mech, and then that's where her life bar changes, and then it becomes a whole different battle, you know. So that's the one I thought of. So that's actually my first pick of the night. But
this is an awesome pick. I don't know if you're gonna believe this, but we actually match on this one. I went with the Queen Alien from the movie Aliens. Cool. And this one I was actually saving for the last, because I thought this is such a big, like the way the movie Aliens is structured, this is literally like the boss fight of the movie. And I felt like this one was like one of the biggest, baddest boss characters in like any film. So this one I was saving for the end, but we totally match on this one. So awesome. Great pick.
And I feel like I feel like I just cheated you out of your end one. I just thought it was a good segue for what you were saying into my list. So,
well, now that you said, now that you picked that one first, I think I'm going to save my goofiest, silliest one for the end. So,
oh, perfect.
We'll see how that plays out.
I also didn't expect to match in any way tonight, because I was like, are we going to be all over the place? Like, what is this list we're talking about? You know? All right. So throwing it back to me, I'll go with, heck, we just talked about Kill Bill, so I'll talk about it again. I was thinking Kill Bill, but not Bill, because if you watch the movie and you try and put that into a video game fight, it's kind of a boring fight, right? So I was thinking Oren Ishii would be the video game boss fight. So it's like if you did Kill Bill parts 1 and 2 as two different video games, and you did Kill Bill part 1 and you get to the end and you're just like, oh, I got to do the Oren fight. That would be a cool boss fight. So yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because then it starts with the phases of like the couple 88s, and then all the 88s, and then you build it up as you work your way to Oren. You have to fight your way all the way through it, and then you have the boss fight at the end. So
yeah, this is great. I think especially when you think of how cinematic, I think Oren Ishii is like such a great character to use for this. But you really think of Kill Bill, like any of the female assassins could make great boss characters, you know. So I think I didn't think of Kill Bill at all, but I should have. And I think in the same vein as Ninja Scroll, actually, like this is a film series that is filled with boss fights. So it's another one, like pick a character, like they all would make great boss fights. But yeah, really good call with this one. I do think that Oren Ishii, like in like the way the cinematography is and the setting, like out in like that sort of like Japanese garden in the snow, like it just looks really beautiful too. So I think this would be one of the coolest looking boss fights, but I really think there's a lot of characters you could have gone with in that movie series. You know what I mean?
Sure. All right. This kicks you back to you. What do you got for me?
Yeah, so I guess I'll knock a weird one off my list, but I actually went with... So in the movie Creepshow 2, which Creepshow, the series is like a really fun horror anthology series for anybody who hasn't seen it, but it's a series of horror movies filled with a bunch of, you know, short stories about different weird horrific events, and it's, you know, the whole series is made to resemble like an old school EC horror comic book. Like you feel like you're watching a live action like Tales from the Crypt, if you will, or something like that. But in Creepshow 2, now this is a weird one, and I don't know why I picked this one for my list, but I think it would be pretty interesting. There's this one sequence in the second movie that I can't remember the title of the sequence. I think it's called The Raft. I want to say it's called The Raft, but the sequence is about a group of characters who, it's a group of like teenagers, you know, young 20 somethings, but you know, it's a bunch of kids going to the lake to like hang out and drink and have a good time. And at some point they end up all swimming out to the middle of this lake where there's a raft. You know, you swim out to the raft and you joke around and you dive in and stuff. But while they're on the raft, there's this weird lake blob creature that floats up to them in the water. And it kind of looks like this wide, it almost looks like this wide, like, floating piece of kelp, if you will, or something. But it's one of those things where they realize, because one of the characters goes into the water and gets engulfed by the blob, like they get surrounded by the blob and the blob's all over their skin, and the blob basically eats them. Like, it disintegrates your skin, it makes you kind of melt down like acid, it sticks to you, you can't pull it off, but then you get melted down and you become one with the blob. So that's basically the scenario, is all these kids on this raft trying to figure out how to get away from this blob. And again, they swam out there, so they don't have a boat or anything. They're kind of just stranded. And it's like a really cool, like, quiet but suspenseful horror story. So that's what I went with, was the lake blob from Creepshow 2. Because one, this for sure has never been in a video game.
Right.
But also, it's a really weird survival horror scenario that I don't know how they would recreate it for a video game. Like, I think it would be pretty exciting to be, like, stuck on this raft, and your character would have to try to either swim to shore, but then there'd be some sort of time limit where the blob would start to try to get you, and maybe you'd have to use, like, a rope or something to try to get, like, you know, latch it onto a rowboat to try to escape. Like, it'd be kind of like a mix between a puzzle situation, but also like a boss character. You know, maybe there's some sort of way that you can actually fight off the blob if you want to go with like sort of like brute strength. But I think it'd be a fun scenario, because I don't think I've ever been in a scenario like this in a video game. And that's what really intrigued me about this one, too. I'm like, man, that lake blob, it's kind of a creepy scenario, but it'd be, if they did it smart, especially nowadays, all the crazy stuff they can do with games when it comes to open world mechanics and all that, I feel like they could create something really interesting out of the situation. And so that's why I picked it for my list. So again, weird, but there you go.
This is a cool one, because I thought about creature features, and then I landed on Alien, and then I was like, man, do I want to load my whole list with creature features? But no, that this is a cool one. Blobs, you know, that makes me think I want to like redo my list here and put the thing on my list, but I will not redo my.
Oh man, I didn't even think of the thing. That'd be an interesting one.
Yeah, well, it is what it is, I guess.
I mean, the thing could be a whole game, and that's another thing. That's a whole. Right. The whole situation is a huge puzzle, too, because who's actually infected with the thing and who isn't. And yeah, that gets into a whole new can of worms. But yeah, good call. The thing would have been a fun one to discuss as well.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to go a little less creep show and move into The Rocketeer.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Just because the end battle takes place on the blimp before it explodes, right? So that could be like, just in terms of the environment, and then you throw in the battle with, and it's like a two part, because so you almost have like two bosses in that fight, because you have the big, like the muscle guy, like the henchman, the big, like the henchman guy that like, you know, follows the, main villain around, and then you have the villain itself. So I just thought it'd be just a cool, like, part. So it's almost like the blimp itself is the end sequence, and you have the two boss fights within the blimp. But you know, just a cool moment in the movie. And just in terms of, if I was going to do a Rocketeer movie, there you go. So
yeah, this is a cool pick. And I think this actually is a really cool pick, and especially like the blimp as like the setting for the final fight scene. Like, that's a super creative idea. But this pick also makes me chuckle a little bit, because I feel like, Drew, I can tell you were probably a little frustrated, because you're like, man, like, I can't pick any Marvel or DC character. I guess I'll go with the Rocketeer.
I actually wasn't mad about that at all, because honestly, when you told me this list, I was like, okay, I'm going to stay away from comic books altogether, because there's comic book video games out there.
Yeah.
You know, there's some amazing Batman ones, the amazing Spider-Man, like, the Batman, the Arkham series is phenomenal, and like everyone, like every character is a boss. And then you throw in the Spider-Man games, they're all phenomenal, right? And then I was like, well, they also have that Avengers game that released, and they have a Suicide Squad game that released, and they have, like, there's just so many video games out there that I'm like, I'm going to stay away from the comic book world altogether. And then I was like, well, crap, that means I got to stay away from Star Wars, because how many Star Wars games are there? You know what I mean? It was weird. It was almost like the franchises had to be taken off the table altogether. Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I say that, but my next pick is actually a comic book movie. So, but a very specific reason, but I'll let you do your pick and then we'll jump over to it. So
yeah. Spoiler alert. No, I really do love this pick though. The Rocketeer. I just think it's funny that, you know, we went from, we transitioned from Creepshow 2 into the Rocketeer. So we're definitely pulling out some deep cuts. But yeah, I guess for my next one, I'll go with a character I've talked about a ton on the show. One of my favorite horror characters, actually. But I went with Pennywise from the It franchise. And when it comes to like a video game boss, I definitely would be going with the newer Andy Muschietti It series, you know, the Bill Skarsgård version, because I feel like that series, like, you get a little bit in the older It miniseries that they did, but in the newer It movies, you really get to see how this is a creature who can do, or maybe an entity is even a better way to put it, but it's this creature who can do like anything he wants, and he can appear in any way that he wants. So like, there's certain parts where you see like Pennywise opens his mouth, and instead of it being like a human mouth, you see those fangs, but then you see rows of fangs, and then slowly like his mouth and his face morphs into something different. And a lot of that is really cool, because he's this like entity, he's like this space demon basically, who can appear to you in any way he wants to strike fear in you. And the idea of that being a video game villain sounds like really, really neat. And especially when you think of the second movie, and this is true for the older series too, when Pennywise takes on like a weird giant spider form at the end, right? But in the newer It movies, like, the way he looks as that giant clown spider thing feels very, very video game. Like, it feels very much so like it's already a boss character. So I think that'd be pretty great. But the other thing I was just thinking about when it comes to It and Pennywise is, if you think of the series, he was never really defeated until the kids in the series were able to tell him, we're not afraid of you, you know, like, you don't scare me anymore. And I think that could be a cool component to a video game, because if they made an It video game, you know, like, as you play through the game, and maybe it's like an action RPG style thing, as you play through, instead of collecting like experience, maybe you're collecting almost like collecting bravery in a weird way. Like, you have to do enough side quests, you have to do enough fights against this It character, you have to build up your bravery till at the very end, when you finally can build it up high enough in that last fight scene that you're able to say, you don't scare me anymore, and you're actually able to defeat this creature. And I think that could be kind of a cool creative way to handle that. So yeah, that's what I went with for my next pick, was Pennywise. So there you go.
Pennywise is an awesome pick. So good call there. You know what? It makes me wonder if there's a Pennywise in Dead by Daylight. Sure. If you can be that, you know what I mean? It's a cool horror game. I was watching my kid play it. He thinks it's awesome. But I wonder if there's a Pennywise in there, and I'll have to ask him to find out, because that'd be cool if you could actually play as it and then run around and try and kill people.
For sure.
So yeah, good call. All right. Let me tell you about the comic book movie I came up with that I knew I could touch.
And it
caught me off guard. I was literally like, oh my God, let's do that. But this is the kind of thing where I almost have to explain the game so you understand why I chose Batman versus Superman. Now, the idea in my mind is this is a game you'd have to play through multiple times. This isn't a once go through kind of a game. Ultimately, the boss fight is Doomsday, right? That's ultimately what it is. You're building up to it and you have the Doomsday fight. But what if at the beginning of the game asks you how you want to play and you have to choose Batman or Superman at the beginning of the game, and you have to play through the whole story as Batman. And then when you decide to play the game again, you select new game, you can then play the whole game through as Superman. So not only would you get the Doomsday fight from different perspectives, you'd actually get the Batman versus Superman fight in the middle of the game. From different perspectives, right? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, absolutely. So
I chose Batman versus Superman. It's a little bit of a cheat because I'm ultimately focusing on two different fights, because ultimately you're getting to Doomsday, but then you have the fight in the middle with the two characters, and it becomes a different perspective depending on how you do it. Because Star Wars games, and what made me think of this is Star Wars games do that a lot, where you get to actually Jedi Academy, right? Or Jedi Outcast. The Force Unleashed games. There's a point in the game where you're playing through the story, and then it says, this is your choice. You either go light side or dark side, and the story changes depending on which direction you choose. You know, so that's what made me think about this. So yeah, there you go. Batman versus Superman. And that's my reasoning. But like I said, it's a little bit of a cheat, but there you go.
I think it's a really cool idea too, especially the, like you said, like you get to choose, are you Batman or Superman? And then it's basically like a different game, like depending on how you play it out.
Yeah.
And, I'm just thinking about like Batman leading up to the actual BVS like fight scene. Batman, like, he did so much like training, he did so much grinding when it comes to you know, forming like the kryptonite spear. You think about like Batman stealing the piece of kryptonite from Lex Luthor. That could be like a whole side quest. And then on the flip side, you think about Superman, like, as Clark, he did so much investigating into like who is this Batman character, even though Batman's like typically the investigator, and I know he had like his whole mystery side of things too, but like you really did see a lot of like Clark doing his journalistic type of stuff, and I feel like Clark's a lot of his side quest stuff might be around that journalism, like leading up to that fight. But yeah, this is a great pick. I think it's a really cool idea. And then I guess my only question, were you saying that like Doomsday is essentially the boss character you're going with for this one, or is it kind of Batman or Superman being the boss
kinda,
character?
This is that thing where it's kind of a cheat. Ultimately, Doomsday is the boss, right? But you're going to have to face him as either Batman or Superman, choosing on which save file you go at. So you get to do that. Technically, if you do the game right, you do it twice because you'd want to play it to see how it would play out. You know what I mean? Just for the experience. But you'd get that bonus boss fight in the middle where you'd have to be Superman versus Batman. And you know what I mean? So it'd be really cool either way. You know, all of a sudden you're Superman and you get hit with that kryptonite dust. You know what I mean? Could you imagine? Like,
oh, good call. So, yeah.
Like there's factors in there, but then you're playing Batman and the kryptonite dust wears off and the life bar gets bigger. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, oh crap, you know? So, or the life bar gets frozen. You're like, I can't do anything to him right now. You know? So.
Yeah, that would be wild. Cause I imagine getting hit by the kryptonite, like gas bomb thing. And, just like, you know, your power goes down, your strength, your hit points. But I could also imagine like maybe even like in the game, like your vision goes like kind of hazy, like you just can't even see stuff as well. And that could be pretty intense. So that's a pretty cool idea. So yeah.
Yeah. All right, man. What do you got for me? Second to last one.
Yeah, for my second to last one, I went with the villain from one of my favorite movies. I went with Jareth, the Goblin King from Labyrinth. So the character that David Bowie played in the movie Labyrinth. And he's such a good villain, and it's such a good movie. And a Labyrinth video game would be so much fun when it comes to just running through and exploring that scenery, seeing all the different characters from the movie, just like how fantastical and otherworldly it all is. But there's also like the time limit thing, you know, like Jareth steals Sarah's little brother, Toby, and she has that time limit. Like, if you don't get to me in time, like I get to keep your little brother. And that is like a whole other like level. You know, I could imagine playing through a game like that and having that clock going in the corner. And that would be really, really intense. And I don't know if like if you think about in a game, like, is there stuff that you would have to do to increase the time limit? Like if you do the side quest here, does that give you a little more time or something like that? I would be really curious how they played that out. But it's also just the cinematics of it all, you know, like if you think about the final sort of quote unquote battle scene with Jareth. I mean, it's within the work of art. Is it called Relativity? The M.C. Escher drawing, or I guess it's a lithograph technically. But you know what I mean with the stairs going everywhere, like that M.C. Escher like stair setting for like that final battle. I think that seems like that would be really intense, and it would be a really cool otherworldly setting for a boss fight. So this one I just thought would be really, really epic. I don't know if you have any specific thoughts on this one, Drew, but I just thought this one would be cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it would be cool, and I think they'd have to do something with that like weird glowing orb thing that he kept playing with. And then I feel like what they would have to do is you'd have to do it in like an old school like older games, they have like one musical track and they'd have to repeat. So like, for example, like when you're like, let's say you're stuck on a Mario level and you're in one of the underground worlds, they have a very specific music for the underground, right? In Mario. Yeah. So I feel like you'd have to like you'd have to give like some one of the like a song in the from the movie, or they would appear in the game and it would be that boss fight, and it would be like on repeat because it'd be a really difficult boss fight and you'd have to hear it over and over and over and over again, and to the point where you're just like, F this song, like, you know what I mean? Like,
fair enough.
You know, I don't know. Just
I could totally picture it. I feel like when you started that description, I thought you were pitching it as like a good thing. And then I'm like, oh, no, I could see that happening. But yeah, it would definitely be obnoxious.
Yeah. All right, man. So last pick for me, I really excited to hear your silly one, as long as you didn't match with me. Yeah. I'm going with Jurassic Park / Jurassic World.
Okay.
I'm thinking about this as a franchise level, because ultimately, if you think about it, you got the T-Rex, you have the Indominus Rex, you have, and I don't think you've seen the new Jurassic World yet, but you have I don't even remember what it was called, like the mutated, whatever it was. But because these games go in, because these movies go into genetics and like dinosaur manipulation and, you know, that kind of stuff, it makes me think what a really cool way to do a boss fight for this would be like, yes, you have to go through and you have to fight the Indominus Rex. That's the end battle, right? Mm-hmm. So you're playing through, but this would be a side scroller Contra style video game. And then when you get to the Indominus Rex, you have the gun and stuff, and you have the platforms to jump off of, and you got trying to bite you while you're shooting at it and stuff. I was like, and when I thought about this one, I was like, and I wasn't expecting to save this to the end, but literally like the idea of the side scroller and then like, all right, I got to run through the visitor center, and you got all the like platform style, and then like, all right, now I'm back out into the woods, and you got to like, you're running through the jungle and you're fighting the, you know, dinosaurs or monsters or whatever, as they're coming at you, and you got your guns out and stuff. And then you get to the big boss at the end, and it's like that style, like Contra style video game. I just thought it'd be really cool to do it that way. So
yeah, that's an interesting take. Because I feel like we were thinking a lot on the level of like you know, current modern like triple A games and stuff. But no, that's actually like really cool idea to do like the more side scroller aspect with like a game like this. I think this is really fun. I did think briefly about Jurassic Park when I was putting my list together, but I didn't go with it. But this is definitely a good pick. And I actually really like the way that you pitched the concept for the game. Like, it sounds like a game I want to play. So good stuff.
All right. So Jurassic Park, there you go. What's your last one? You said it was silly.
My last one, it is silly. I'm pretty certain this is not in any video game. I'd be very surprised if it was, but this was actually meant to be an honorable mention. But like I said earlier, I switched around the clown from Spawn with this one. And what I went with for my last pick of the night is the Mega Maid from Spaceballs. So this is basically, you know, the villain ship Spaceball One transforms, another transforming pick, but transforms into the Mega Maid, which is a giant mech like maid woman holding a vacuum cleaner so that they can suck the fresh air out of, I guess it's Druidia in this case, but I guess any planet that they want to get fresh air from. But no, I think I just thought this would be like a really funny pick, but it actually would be cool if they did have like a serious Spaceballs game. And I think about like, you know, you have the Schwartz fighting sequence, you know, with Lone Star and Dark Helmet like inside the ship, and then you bring the fight to space, you know, you hop in the Winnebago, you bring the fight to space, and then you're fighting a giant maid mech robot, and you have to fly into the maid's ear, and you have to, you know, destroy the thermal reactor, or however it's phrased in the movie. I just thought this would be bonkers and hilarious. And again, this was meant to be an honorable mention, but I think it's fitting for a list as ridiculous as this, it's fitting to save for the end. So there you go. Spaceballs.
Good call. That's fantastic. Hang on a second. Sorry, writing on the spreadsheet. Good call on this. And it's great because of the idea that there's gonna have to be some kind of it's kind of like when you play like Star Wars Battlefront, or you play like Return of the Jedi and Super Nintendo, and you know that there's that battle, you know, there's that sequence where you're going to have to fly into the Death Star. Right. That's the idea. That's just so cool when you're like, all right, it's Mega Maid. You're going to have to go through the ear canal. You know what I
mean? Absolutely. You know. Yeah, it is cool to think of this as like this would be the Star Fox sequence of that game, but I just thought this one would be hilarious to pick. So there you go.
Cool. Well, this brings it to my pick. And after I finish writing this on the spreadsheet, I can tell you about it. So this comes back to mine. I was kind of. This is getting harder and harder every time we do an episode. What haven't we talked about, right? But as I was scrolling through, and actually I learned something about Excel spreadsheet. If you do Control F, it brings up a box that you can type in something and it can search for keywords. So for example, when I was like, I wanted to look at our Disney lists, I typed in Disney and I could actually like isolate it and go, oh, that's the Disney lists we've done. You know what I mean? So,
perfect. Yeah.
Right. So that's kind of helped me like sift through the list a little bit. Anyway, the idea I had for this next, for next week is survival media, I guess is the best way of wording it. That's not what the title is going to be. I don't know how I'm going to word this yet, but the way I was thinking about it was there are so many things out there that deal with survival. I'm going to use Walking Dead as an example. Yes, it's zombies. But they actually have to go through a lot of like, we need food, we need water, we need shelter, right? There's other television shows that follow this formula. There's movies that follow this formula. Now, I know that there's stuff out there that you can say, well, you know, Twister is a survival movie, but it's more of a natural disaster movie. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I was thinking about the survival television and movies and stuff that that sometimes we get like sucked in and we go down those rabbit holes for. So Walking Dead was just the example I wanted to use. You know what I mean? So there are going to be things that we've talked about in the past just because like we've talked about on other news or like, hey, I watched the show, I like it, or, you know, that kind of thing. But survival horror, there you go. Or not survival horror, but survival media, I guess, the best way of wording it. So,
yeah, yeah, this is super fun. And yeah, I get, yeah, you have a good point. Like, there's like a movie like Twister or like, I mean, you could pick like other disaster movies, whether it's like San Andreas or whatever. And there's a lot of those movies that's just kind of like, oh, crap, disaster's coming, we got to run, you know. And that's right. I understand that's not really what you mean. Because when you think of The Walking Dead or you think of, you know, other like survival centric stuff, there's like a tactical level of like, how are we going to get our food? How are we going to get our water? What location is the best place to pick for our home base, et cetera, right, et cetera. And that's the type of stuff you're looking for. And I right. think that's really fun because that's actually one of my favorite. I love those sort of scenarios, like the survival scenarios, whether it be like Walking Dead or Castaway is like a good example. When it comes to disaster movies, I actually feel like The Day After Tomorrow does have some of those survival aspects. So maybe that movie will come up. But
yeah,
either way, that, good idea for a pick, you know?
Yeah, that and I'm okay. And that's the thing, like, dude, if you can argue it, I don't care if it's you know, this is the thing where we're looking for a fun conversation. So but I was trying to get my point across using Walking Dead, because like I said, with the food, the water, that kind of stuff.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
And there's other things out there that fall in line with that. But yeah, dude, like if you have like, if you're like, nope, like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to bring that up because it might actually make my list. But if you're like looking at it going, okay, well, that's technically that kind of a survival. It's still like, there still could be natural disaster type stuff. And then you throw in all the other, like they're like Day After Tomorrow, perfect example, natural disaster, but they are still the, how are we going to do this aspect as opposed to like a movie like 2012, where you're like, man, I'm glad I wasn't standing there 30 seconds ago. So,
and there's room for both of those kinds of movies, but I totally, the point I was making is I totally understand what you mean for this list. And it good. Sounds like a real fun topic. So
good. So yeah, let's talk about it next week. So that's what my pick is for next week. But yeah, that brings us to the end of this week's episode, man. You want to toss this episode in the can?
Yeah, let's go for it.
We're on like the third can, by the way, just saying. At any rate, everyone, do us all a favor. Check out our website, top5report.com. We haven't done this in 2 weeks. How do I do this again? Everybody, do us a favor. Check out our website, top5report.com. There you'll find links to all of our social media, along with a link to our email, top5report@gmail.com. We are on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Amazon, Audible. You can subscribe to us in those places. If you do, you will not miss a single episode. You can also leave us a review. We love those 5 stars, but we understand criticism because it helps us get better and it makes the words we say feel important. You can follow me personally on Twitter and Instagram at Drew3927. Peter, what about you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at NinjaPierre. And that's where I'll be reminding you that I hate camping. There's always a guy with an acoustic guitar that just doesn't quite know how to play it.
You know, it's really funny because we've grown, spent our whole lives camping, and I hate. But it also made me think of Broken Lizard and Club Dread as soon as you said that.
Oh.
Anyway.
Well, the quote's from Role Models, actually, if you remember.
It is. I know that, but it, okay. I know. It just immediately made me think of Club Dread, and awesome, that made me laugh. Anyway. All right, everybody, for the Top 5 Report, I'm Drew.
I'm Peter.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.